It's a little windy. It's a little, it looks like it could storm. It's the first day of August, 2021. Lisa tells me I have 53 months. She's counting down. That makes me feel pretty good. She misses me when I'm gone. Worry sometimes that she breathes a sigh of relief when I take off. I'm trying to be a better natured guy. It's a bit tricky. Okay, woof. Trying to adjust the windows until it feels a little bit better. I watch a fella named Watcher Palmer. He's thinking that the end is going to come sooner than later. I hope that, hope he's right. I'm not excited by the times. And they're not really affecting me particularly yet. But, they could, at some point, in the not-too-distant future, affect all of us. I'm on my way back to the crash site. I packed my bag. I packed the extra bag for going to the temple. Just in case we come up with a way to do so. I think Lisa's thinking along the lines of Fridays, which is fine. For me personally, I can't. Well, I'd rather do it on a more of a weekday night. Temple fills up of weekends. Anyway, when I watch Walter Palmer, I find that he and I are of similar thinking, that that scriptures that aren't bright and cheery and positive and reflect the kind of love that people think that Christ should exude. And it's tricky because they have to pass over a lot of scripture. Because the Lord's a hard nose. He's a man that promises great blessings through obedience, and frankly spells out punishments, damnation, which is just stopping you from progression, and to a certain extent destruction if you don't keep the commandments. Now that is typically filtered out. I don't know who at the church education system decided that was the proper way of approaching scripture study. I don't know where that comes from, but it is. It's almost like, let's ignore half of the scriptures that we have. And it begs the question, when I was younger, perhaps a different generation of church leaders, church members, held a greater sway. Now, I don't want to downplay President Nelson at all. I think he's doing a fair job trying to prepare us for what's to come. It's gonna be hard. If you're relying on the Lord's loving nature to kind of ignore sin, you're probably going to be up for a big surprise and an unpleasant one. When you say, there's a scripture for it. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. And after you die, you know, he'll beat you with a few stripes, and then you'll be saved, and everything will be wonderful. And I swear people stop reading right there and say, okay, well then it's not that big of a deal. You know, I don't have to be obedient. I don't have to strive. I don't have to try harder to be the kind of person that Christ wants me to be. You know, I don't need to worry about that. Well, Christ is quite poignant. Everybody kind of says, well, understand why. You know, he had lots of followers for the Sermon on the Mount. And then the next sermon he did, a lot of people just walked away and said, no. Because it was much more about him being the Lord. And people didn't want to hear that particularly. likely other things they didn't want to hear either. I am interested to see the Chosen and how it breaks down. So the times when Christ was not very, very kindly. So far it's been a kindly, loving, nice, amiable, affable Christ. And to be honest, I think we get a lot of that out of the New Testament. I don't want to fall into the trap of saying the New Testament has holes. I'm perfectly willing to say that Christ was of a kinder nature. During his mortal sojourn, although I can say that sometimes he wasn't the kindest to the apostles, you know. He was trying to get them ready to do what he needed them to do. To go out and do his will, to do what needed to be done. And it's a hard, you know, most Christians today, I think, are enamored of lazy Jesus. Jesus who just is kind and wonderful and don't talk about times when he may not have been as kind or as wonderful. Don't talk about the times when he may have been bad. It's still very much the whole the God of the Old Testament, who was Jesus Christ, was nasty and spiteful. And not worthy of worship. And, you know, everybody's like, well, but then Jesus was just so loving and kind and wonderful. I'm going, yes, he was loving and kind and wonderful at times. But now, you know, in the Doctrine and Covenants here, he's a hard customer. You know, he is just as likely to brandish the stick as he is to lovingly offer the carrot. Different people respond to different things. But I think far too many people are much more interested in a Jesus who basically just for nothing save the asking that you will have everything that God offers. Everything that God offers will be given to you. I'm, Like I said, I compare him to the lazy dad, lounging on the couch. You know, kid comes through asking for money, wanting some kind of, you know, mostly trying to snow one over on old dad. You know, hey, I'm going out to go do this. When it's a lie, they're going out to do something else. They go, okay, dear, have a great time. You know, kind of basically the anti-parent, right? The one that just really doesn't get involved with their kids at all. And thinks that good parenting is to shower your children with gifts and love, you know, love conquers all. They go, love ya. And the kid goes, love you too, dad, when he's really kind of going, man, I smoked it past him again. He's not even paying attention. And I think that's what I swear most of Christendom now, sadly, views Jesus as an easy touch. All you gotta do is butter him up a little bit. Dad, you're the greatest dad in the whole world. Can I have $100? Oh, sure, honey. Oh my, here you go. I need to recall to myself, I'm already seeing kind of interesting driving here on the interstate today. So as soon as I can get off the interstate, I'm gonna. And take the slow way. It looks like somebody's already... It's like they're already having a thing where you need to get off one of the lanes. Last time I got pretty far past Santa Rosa before started having issues. And you know, it was the whole thing of we're all stopped going 2 miles an hour, creeping along. And I'm just going to do my best to avoid that. But yeah. And I would say it's a little disconcerting. The brethren are saying, read the scriptures, study, get close to the Spirit. I'm not sure that Sunday school is really contributing too much to that. But like I've said much lately, I feel like the church is kind of first gear. It's made to present something kind and wonderful and marvelous to new converts, to people who have I think, I think, and this is not bad. I'm not saying this is bad. It's made to help people try to gain a simple childlike faith. And that's wonderful. You know, the church has a certain mission to it. And I recognize people who say, you know, that the church doesn't fulfill their needs. And I'm a guy who says, you know, it's probably not here to fulfill your needs. Some people, and I don't know if I'm one of them, I hope I am, but I cannot say. Some people are there to be the strong, diligent people that just need to keep striving forward. And when churches get compared metaphorically to hospitals, I'm the first guy to say, well, you know what? You need some doctors in those hospitals. You need to be the ones that people rely on for spiritual newcomers, for people who hang their hat on being sinners, and to a certain extent, for a few years, I don't think that's a bad thing to be. You know, oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, but Jesus will save me. And you go, yes, no, that's, you know. But it takes more than that. It's more than just acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior, which I know so, well, I don't know how many churches, but some Christian denominations, that is basically their contribution to people's salvation, is to say that you need to admit that you're a sinner and that you need Christ as your Savior. But all too often it stops there, and you go, no, now you've got to become a better person. Now you've got to repent. You know, it isn't enough to acknowledge you're a sinner. You need to stop sinning. Very heartened by some people, by some gentlemen that I don't know how much fire and brimstone I guess you can attribute to them, but they certainly seem to tend toward that side, and I really appreciated, you know, so many people among members of the church too. A lot of Christendom has snuck into Latter-day Saint culture, and it starts getting preached as doctrine at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call it Latter-day Saint culture. It's Mormon culture. Jello Belt Mormon culture. And it's like, you know what? They said, you can say all day long that you need to love the sinner and hate the sin, but guess what? When it comes down to it, sins aren't going to be punished. Sinners are. So you need to get yourself past the whole thing of, you know, I'm a sinner. And you go, whatever. I said, you know, I'm glad that you see that. now. Do something about it. It's like, oh, you really gotta do things? And you go, yes. Crisis time and time and time and time and time again, ad nauseum, that we need to repent. That means become better people. That means the sins that we are doing, that now we acknowledge our sins and Christ has set our sins. Now you need to work on not doing them anymore. In so many cultures today, you can't say that, you know, because people will say, well, you're not being very loving. You're not being very accepting of me for who I am. And you're going, oh my goodness. I said, nobody's particularly interested in who you are now. We're much more concerned about who you're going to be tomorrow, next week, a couple of years from now. Are you making progress? Are you becoming a better person? Are you changing your nature from having a sinful nature to being more obedient, reconciled to Christ? Moving along the same path that Christ is moving. To a large extent, for all of us, Christ does the heavy lifting. Christ does the pulling. However, his preaching and his example and what he told us to do is not about all of us, you know, getting on some kind of weird bandwagon and having Christ out front pulling, 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 and everybody else singing praise songs out in the cart in back, and not even bothering to try and either lighten the load or actually get out and help Christ push things along. We might be pathetic in comparison, but we can contribute, albeit not a ton, but we can. Oh, such, I love stormy days, and let me tell you, the past few Sundays have been wonderfully cloud-filled. There's some clouds you can see that are actually quite bright. I see a whole bunch of, you know, it almost looks like a lion riding on top of a white cloud, and it's beautiful. This is a beautiful world. And as I pull my head out more and start looking at it, I start appreciating it more. Now, there's nothing I can do about those clouds and the weather. You just have to accept them as something wonderful that God has provided to us in nature. And it's beautiful, it's wonderful. And as we acknowledge God's hand in all these ways, it is a wonderful testament to his love for us. It's wonderful. But that isn't the only way we can show our gratitude and our love in return to Christ. The biggest thing is repent, 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 repent. Do what he's asked us to do. So yeah, I'm grateful for those parts of Christendom. I kind of stay outside of it to a certain extent. You know. know how much call I have for claiming my Jewish ancestry. I do sometimes. Other times I don't. Acknowledging God's covenant, I'm becoming God's covenant people, and God's covenant, and God was hard on the covenant people. He was trying to get them somewhere. He was trying to get them to become people who could be blessed. All the wilderness experience. God was angry at the children of Israel. Sent them out into the wilderness. Basically wrote off the adult generation. They were going to spend 40 years out there, and all of the first generation were going to die in the wilderness because of their inability to accept the Lord, actually it's Jesus Christ, as their God. Golden calf incident. The desire to go back to Egypt because of the flesh pots and the food, and you know, they wanted to go back to where there was plenty of food. How we should compare ourselves to that. Far too many people who claim a belief in Christ, actually far more enamored of lazy Jesus. Have a dim view of the Jews, a dim view of the children of Israel. You know, if I would have been in that situation, I would have been, you know, far more righteous. I would have put my faith in the Lord, and it's like, well, how are you doing today? How are you doing now? Are you obeying the commandments? And you go, well, those, you know, those don't really apply. If I go running to Jesus, or I sing his praises as if I'm a Hare Krishna who is saved if in death they have Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Passing their lips, they will go on to the better realm. I often worry that some of these praise song people are just basically doing a Christianized version of that. It's not evil. But if that's all you're doing, if that's all you basically are up to, it's insufficient. So yeah, getting back to the church and saying, because I have surmised, and I keep getting more evidence of this. I don't know if it's just because I thought it and now I see it. Which might be the road to wisdom as far as, you know, for as far as it goes. That the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a first-gear church. It's made basically to help people who are new to the gospel. Or who have a limited faith based on good feelings and kind friends. I'm sorry to say it, but who have a girls' camp testimony. Kind of heard one of those today from a lady who's passing through. Nice lady. And she pretty much poo-pooed. Well, I that's probably not very nice. She said that she had no problem providing a travelogue or talking about how much she loves the people she's surrounded by and how wonderful they are. And can I be honest? It was some weeks ago. I really have kind of done my personal study of the grievances of ex-Mormons, you know, people who have chosen to leave the church for a variety of reasons. The CES letter is a current manifestation of this kind of thing. And when you hear why they left the church and you know, some of them cry, some of them sob, some are very, you know, this is very emotional for them. They very much say how horrible and difficult it was for them to extricate themselves from the Mormon culture, because that's all they had ever known. And, you know, it's like, well, huh. And, you know, it's that girls' camp testimony they have of how wonderful, you know, how wonderfully fun it was to be around all the girls doing something akin to singing Kumbaya and, you know, nobody's being particularly mean to anybody else. You know, the mean people don't go to girls' camp much. We don't tell them not to go, but we also, we don't wrap them up in a burlap sack and throw them in the back of the van and make them go, either. And so, yeah, you know, these are the people, and it's very wonderful, kind of the, Zion, utopia, oh, isn't it going to be wonderful when we're just surrounded by beautiful, wonderful people that never offend anybody, and that do this, you know, and that, you know, it's just a big hug fest and rainbows and unicorns and I think I've already talked about the fact that I kind of think that that's the terrestrial kingdom. At least that is the mindset I think of it. My grandmother, who was a wonderful woman, my mom's mother, was a feisty woman. Short, feisty. And I asked her once what her concept of heaven was, and I was stunned. It was the concept that a child would have, you know. Floating around on clouds, playing harps, mostly just lounging around, kind of an eternal rest sort of thing, which I have ascribed that to the terrestrial kingdom. And that's wonderful. That's where she wanted to go. That's how she lived her life. She was wonderful to me. I loved my grandmother. But was she interested in anything else? Oh gosh, no. No. You know, because that was what had always been presented to her as the great pinnacle of existence. You know, you worked hard during this life, and she was a hard worker, you know, and you accomplished everything that needs to be done, you know, and your reward for being a good person is to go to some place where you don't have to really work anymore, you know, and I say, well, somebody's got to work there, I don't know who, you know, I don't know exactly how it all works, but I kind of pictured as kind of a, the Latter-day Saint Church got rid of custodians. We don't really have custodians for our church buildings. It was done pretty much church-wide, or at least in the United States and Canada, as far as I'm aware of. And and everybody takes turns cleaning the church. It's not a fantastic cleaning. There's some people who have really, really high standards that are really kind of upset about it not being done up to what they feel like the standard should be. I understand that. I find it funny that those people are often the ones that are in circumstances that they don't really have to contribute too much to doing it, if they might live a long way from the church or something like that. It's kind of interesting to see. the people who are complaining the most are often the people who contribute the least to it. That's a terrestrial thing. So, you know, I said, if you're excited about socialism, but it's got to have Christ in it, you know, it's got to be Christian socialism. You can't be some kind of weird atheist and get to the terrestrial kingdom. The actual, you know, and is it a utopia? Go, yes. Oh, yes. Everything works. Everything's wonderful. I don't know if things just kind of clean up themselves. I don't know. But yeah. Says, you know, it's like spending every day at the country club, you know, or on the cruise ship, or, you know, playing shuffleboard, golf, you know, tennis. I equate these things with this. And I'm pretty sure that my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, will go to that place because I think she earned that place. That was what she was going for. And I think she did it. You know? She certainly had some opportunities to do more. I mean, her daughter joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, learned about the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't remember her ever showing any interest in anything like that. So going beyond that wasn't really interesting to her, because can I be honest? Going beyond that ends up being, honestly, work. You know, God isn't lounging around, neither is Christ, although Christ does make an appearance at in the terrestrial kingdom. You're going to see Christ on occasion. You know, I don't know how that manifests itself. Christ isn't going to be there too much because he's busy. He's busy, you know, executing his exaltation. And the funny thing is, I think a lot of Latter-day Saints although they are, because if they live true to their covenant of baptism, they're going to go to the celestial kingdom, the one that's a little higher. And I don't know if they're going to say, you know what, I didn't bargain for this. I really wanted the terrestrial thing. You know, if I didn't qualify for exaltation, I don't want to be an angel, a servant to those who earned a much higher weight of glory. I think is what happens. You know, like I said, I have thought often that it's kind of like Downton Abbey. You know, there's supposed to be three levels to the celestial kingdom, and the top level is like Lord and Lady Grantham of the Lord and Lady of the Manor, the gods. And then there is those who are in service. I think those are the middle people, the middle one, where it's like, okay, that's like that. And then I need to slow down. And then that third level are the people who live and labor in the village. You know, I don't know if they have jobs as part of building worlds and stuff like that. I really don't know. But I kind of look at it as those three kinds of levels, those kinds of people. And I worry about myself, you know, am I gonna qualify to be one of those, you know, Lisa wants to make it to the top. That's just Lisa. She wants the whole bowl of wax, and she's going to do whatever's required to get it done. And, you know, I think she's amazing, and I love her for it. And I'm happy because I think she does a wonderful job of pushing me. And I want to be there with her. So and what does that require? I think it goes without saying that one has to be obedient. It also demands that we put forth more effort. That we actually are a part of God's work in bringing souls to Christ. That doesn't mean that you have a wonderful time, you know, talking about the deep doctrine of the scriptures. That's really not what it's about particularly. It's about being an instrument in the hands of the Lord and helping people come unto Christ. Now you're going to have things added to you, mostly knowledge, I think, mostly a deeper understanding of the scriptures, certainly inspiration toward helping people along the journey as well. It helps you because you're one of the ones going along the road too. After you have received the gospel, help others to receive the gospel as well. that's really the essence of it. Now, when I say it's a first gear church, you know what? Nobody really ever gets out of first gear. On this world, particularly. But it's a bad analogy. Because you grow and progress, but it's you surrounded by people that you're helping along the way. You know, you make the offer and it's like, you know what, if you don't want to come, that's your business. That's great. And it ends up being and, well, you know, that's basically it, you know. Second or third gear, you're still having fun and relationships with a lot of people. And they may be struggling more than you are, but in some ways they may be doing better than you are. And being in that mix, just makes everything all the better. I've been thinking about what I can do during the week here with my evenings. I don't have all these wonderful, I used to have a van, and it was great because we could take a lot of groups to the temple. Going to the temple is a wonderful thing. I like doing it. But the first thing I gotta tell people is, guys, this is I can't come to church here all the time because, frankly, I've got a whole other life someplace else. You know, my wife lives in Tucumcari, and that's my home base. My home base is Lisa Nemro. Anyway, so say, you know, wear out your life in service to God. And so, you know, now the temples are starting to open up again. I'm thinking I want to get in contact the bishop in Socorro, the bishop in Blinn, and see what we can pull together. I've always been kind of a regional fella. It's not due to anything, but just my circumstances. And I know the Lord would help me with my job to make it work well for the situation, and it's coming together pretty well. And I'm reasonably happy. So, I think I'm gonna plan some temple excursions, and going up to the temple in Albuquerque. Uh-oh. It's starting to rain a little bit. I see a little spitting. But I also saw what I looks like a police officer up here flashing people, getting them to slow down. And I'm doing right at 65, which is the speed limit here. I'm getting 43 miles to the gallon right now. This wonderful little car. I need the blessings of this car working for a long time. I need those blessings. And I think I could do something like that. Give us something kind of look forward to during the week. Best I can do is pick up people in Socorro, and on the way in, you know, Blinn maybe. You know, people who don't have the resources to really go to the temple very often and say, you don't need them. Let's go to the temple. It's great. Get off at 5. And go serve in the temple. People that don't need to be put off, well, I don't have a good suit, I don't have this, and you go, man, I don't have one either. Let's just go, shall we? Let's do it. Yeah. Wow, what's all that, man? There's basically a string of vehicles. It's almost like there's construction up here. And they made everybody stop for a little bit, and then they let them all go. Uh-oh. So anyway, I think that's what I'm thinking. And, you know, let them know that I've got responsibilities back in Tucumcari, Carrie, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to attend the units out here, but on occasion, maybe? I don't know. I haven't talked Lisa into really wanting to have a reason. She really doesn't want to. And I understand that. I understand that. Lisa can bring a couple of people from Tucumcari and Santa Rosa. And we can all meet up at the temple in Albuquerque. Wonderful opportunities, and we can all enjoy the blessings of it, you know. You know, and it's always offered. You can get yourself in the position that you can go. You know, when people say, well, I can't go to the temple, and you go, sure you can, sure you can. If there's some things stopping you, make the changes needed so that you're not hindered anymore, and we can go. We'll have to take you. Let's go. Everything can be overcome, as far as I'm aware of, with the right incentive. Boy, I think we're gonna hit some rain. I think we're gonna hit some rain. So I'm gonna close up my well, partially. I'm still gonna breathe. I've got some air coming in, so I should be okay. And you're probably, it's like, oh man, now I can finally hear him. Whee! So, oh yeah, we got some rain. This has been a wonderful year for rain, and we're just getting so much of it. A wonderful blessing. I don't know exactly what was done, if it's even our fault that the rains are coming. Grateful for them. Yeah. Grateful to the Lord for sending it. Certainly His purview to do it. So anyway, I'm thinking too much, therefore I'm not talking enough. And the recording's going to be interesting. It always goes, you know, the recordings all go up. And it'll be good. I have some good recordings. I have some bad recordings. I have some recordings that I probably should throw away, but I don't. Anyway, so that's what I got for this particular part of the program. I need to contact some people and see what can be worked out. Anyway, talk to you later. Grateful for everything that's needed. And grateful to be needed. I think that's the biggest thing. Is that I've always felt uncomfortable being in big wards because it's like, you don't need me. You don't need any of these guys. I found ways to serve anyway. But yeah, anyway. So, all right. Talk to you later. Bye.